This week on Your Parents Baseball, we're honoring America's pastime with the first awesome game from Japan. Released in 1987 for the NES, we're playing Jaleco's Bases Loaded. I'm Steve Greenwell, and judging balls and strikes with me is regular co-host Todd Brisket.
The bottom of your lineup will face your opponent's ace reliever.
And our other co-host is a tortured Philly fanatic, Huell Hauser.
They've got the momentum, but you've got the heart.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks to your purchases through the Amazon link, the boys at Your Parents' Basement have been able to nourish the poor, starving, classic games-based tummies that they have. Thanks to your purchases, Todd Brisket has been able to purchase Rainbow Islands, the bizarre sequel to Bubble Bobble. Huell's nights have been kept warm with Freedom Force, a light gun game where you're shooting down terrorists as Rad Rex and Manic Jackson. And myself, well, I don't know how I was ever able to live without my NES port of Muscle from 1986. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank our YPB listeners for supporting us. You can keep supporting our video game collections by purchasing from Amazon with our link. It doesn't add anything extra to your purchase. You can find it on our website, www.yppodcast.com. And today's game is Bases Loaded. Back in the early days of the NES, there was basically only one option for baseball games, and it was baseball, a simple, crappy game that dated back to 1983 by Nintendo. In the summer of 86, two games finally arrived to kind of fill the void ably. There was RBI Baseball, which had real players but a cartoonish presentation, and then there's today's game, Bases Loaded. Unlike the other baseball games on the NES, Bases Loaded had a TV-style presentation that focused on the batter-hitter matchup, the batter-pitcher matchup. You could steer pitches up, down, left, and right, as well as changing speeds, which made that the main focus of the game. I was the one who nominated this one. Much like NHLPA 93, this was one of the big sports games of my childhood, to the point that I would keep pitching box scores and stats for the games I played.
Nerd.
I know. It was sad. I kept it in like this this blue notebook that I got in from.
Spiral bound?
No, it was worse. You know, like those exam booklets that you would get in college? It was like one of those, except
like a paperback workbook?
Yeah, exactly. That you would write exams out in. Like I got one in like third or fourth grade, and I don't know why, but I decided, oh, this is where I need to keep my stats.
I will not use this for education.
No, no. I'm going to use this for a better purpose, which is to keep stats for a Nintendo baseball game that even by that point, like, you know, by the time I was 7 or 8, that was like early 90s. So game was already 5 or 6 years old. But from that, I did find out there is a bit of a correlation between ERA and skill and batting average and hitting skill. Like it's not
arbitrary. Yeah.
No, it's not just random numbers like in a lot of the older games. Obviously, I'm a big fan of this game, but Huell, since you have a little bit less experience with the NES than Brisket and I, why don't we start with you? How'd you like this one?
This was not one I had played before, so this is my first experience with it. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised to see how, I wouldn't say in-depth, but like accurate it was. Mm-hmm. And how it was more simulation based than, like you said, RBI Baseball was more cartoonish.
Yeah.
It was more realistic than I thought. But I did find it pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I think I played two games and I think I got 4 total hits.
Oh, wow.
But two of which were home runs, and those were the only runs I scored. So.
Oh.
Because it is, as you said, it's a TV style, so you're watching the back of the pitcher on the mound,
mm-hmm.
and the batter is facing you. So as the ball is thrown, you have no depth perception, because it's an 8-bit pixelated game. So I never friggin' understood when the ball was really reaching me, even after playing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time I swung too early, or I would swing way too late.
Yeah, I do think this game is one of the more difficult ones to get a hit on. compared to all the other baseball games?
Definitely, because, you know, there is, because of the presentation, you kind of have three different levels you have to hit on. There's kind of like high pitches, middle pitches, and low pitches, and your bat can swing at all three of them.
And for old,
you can
for
swing
old,
inside and outside too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's nine different zones.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go diagonal, you can go up, down, left, right, and middle. So.
Yeah. And I
think that the complexity was surprising because a lot of the old games like this are very simple. You're pretty much just swinging the bat.
Yeah, it's all just timing. And
but
that's
with the zones and, as you brought up, the different speeds, it made it a lot more to think about for such a simple presentation.
Yeah, and there's also, by the way, the trick I always use when I'm pitching is you can also throw pitches that the batter cannot hit at all.
Yeah.
Which is somewhat rare for these early NES games. And, you know, most of the other games like RBI Baseball, I also played a lot of Base Wars when I was a kid, which is a fighting robot game where if you get tagged down in the base pass, instead it goes to a fight between two robots. And they try.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, they try to destroy one another.
I love the hybrid games like that.
Yeah.
Like the classic hybrid is Ninja Golf for Atari.
Oh, I remember that one. The angry video game nerd played that one. And it looked very bizarre. Base Wars sounds much better than it actually is because in actuality there's one team that has every player on their team has a laser rifle. And there's no way you can beat them.
That sounds impossible.
Yeah, pretty much. It means that they can just basically run from base to base, and you can't tag them out. Because
they're just shooting you?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, because there's a laser rifle, and there's machine guns, and there's a laser sword, where if you stab them with the laser sword, it basically kills them automatically, but you gotta get close to them. But the fighting itself is actually very herky jerky and it's tough to do.
It's a lot of murder for a baseball game.
Yeah. And it's also an oddly programmed game in that there's not like a true season mode. Like the computer won't play games against itself. So at the end of a season, your team is like 16-0. And all of the other teams are like 0-16 because they placed, because they played you. And also it's a frustrating game because it has a lot of potential. You also earn money for your victories, which can be used to upgrade to robots.
Which game are we covering today?
All of them. Every baseball game.
I was just curious.
But anyways, Base Wars in RBI Baseball.
We should add that because that sounds insane.
They are top-down games where you really only have to worry about the ball going left and right, or, you know, pitchers can throw curveballs or spitters that you can't hit, but they're normally easy to see. So,
right.
And the other thing that makes batting tough in this game, unlike with later generation games like PlayStation baseball games, there's not much sweet spot on the bat, like. The bat is just this tiny little sliver that.
Yeah, I was popping up constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did have a little more, well, I thought I did, a little more luck with pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can control the ball very well. But my fielding was god awful.
Yeah. That's my biggest problem with this game is every single time I threw a pitch, it was way outside and it was a ball, or they got a pop fly out to the outfield. And the problem with this game is that you can't really see where your outfielders are until the ball goes all the way out there. And then that's the only point you can start running towards the ball. So yeah.
You're almost
I wasn't able to catch a single fly ball. The computer got it every time. He just casually was sitting out there waiting for it to come right to him.
That's one of my notes.
Sipping on iced tea, relaxing, and waiting for the ball just land in his lap.
Yeah, they're in the perfect spot every time.
Well, this is an unfortunate. We should have chatted before we did that because this game has auto fielding.
What?
If you just don't touch the controller when it hits a fly ball, your fielder will run automatically until you move him. So
I didn't know that.
Really?
It's kind of Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball kind of controls the same way, I think.
I was reading, I don't know if it was the manual, but I think it was the GameFAQs instructions. Mm-hmm. And they said that you could control the, you just auto-control the player closest to the ball.
Closest to the ball, yeah.
So I thought it meant you had to.
Right.
No, you do control the player closest to the ball, but he doesn't, he'll run on his own until you kind of control him. If you are really good at this game, then, you know, some of the deep fly balls, I think you can kind of get a jump on.
Right.
By controlling them right off the bat, but I can't imagine anyone who's that good at this game. I played a game and a half. I was playing before we fired up, and it should be said that like real baseball, a game of Bases Loaded takes quite a while. Like I was playing for an hour and a half, and I'm in the seventh inning.
Wait, really?
Not only that, but you play an entire, how many, like 80 or 180 game season in this thing?
Yeah, 162.
162. You play an entire season.
Yeah, this thing is a grind.
Yeah, I mean, this game technically has a, it says it has a season mode, but it doesn't keep track of stats, so I'm not really sure what the benefit is.
Let's note that there are two modes. There is pennant mode and like USA mode or something. What was it called? When I loaded it, it was like U.S. America mode or something.
Mine was pennant or two-player. Those really? Were the only options I had.
Yeah.
Am I not reading this correctly?
I mean, you could have been playing one of the many sequels, Huel, and it wouldn't have really mattered because they all play pretty much the same, but...
I thought I played the first one.
The only difference... I had this down for a note later, but we can also get into it now. There is like a bunch of these friggin' Bases Loaded games, and they are, for the most part, pretty much all the same. Like, there are slight changes from year to year. Only one of them, the very last one, has an actual player's license. So that's the only one that has real players in it. It still doesn't have real teams. So after this first game, it kind of spiraled out of control with unnecessary sequels. The second game was actually a pretty big improvement since it does add a season mode that lets you make pregame subs and players go on hot streaks and that kind of thing. But from there, things just got weird. In Bases Loaded 3, there's no season mode. Instead, your goal is to play a perfect game, something that's only happened 23 times in more than 200,000 actual Major League Baseball games.
That's the point of the whole game?
Yep, it's just an endless, like, exhibition mode kind of thing.
What?
Where your goal is to get graded on a perfect game. And by the way, like, what they mean by perfect game is not, like, the standard definition of a perfect game. Like, you get points taken away for things like strikeouts and that kind of stuff. But you can get points added for like turning double plays and hitting home runs. So it's just a bizarre kind of reasoning. Like, why not just keep the season mode in and give you like a grade after each game? Like, that would make more sense to me. From there, like there's a fourth game for the Nintendo, and that switches back to just the old system where it has a season mode. And then, by the way, after that, there are three more installments for the Super Nintendo. There are seven installments of this game in 8 years. And this is before there were, like, yearly roster updates, like in Madden games. Like, except for the very last game, like I said, there's no actual license. So there's really no reason for them to keep churning these out.
Did they not even add, like, any features?
There's like little things around the edges, like they gradually add teams as you go along. Like I believe the first one only has 8 teams. And then by the very last game, I think you have 28 teams or however many there were in actual baseball at the time. But you know, for the most part, they did not change the gameplay at all. Like, it's all still the same batter pitcher confrontation, which admittedly they probably did get correct because it's still the perspective used by games like MLB and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's also how you watch baseball too. So
yeah,
it's more realistic.
Yeah,
it's hyper realistic.
I don't think they got that aspect wrong. I mean, by the time PlayStation games rolled around, they did switch it so that when you're up as the batter, like the display is at the bottom, so that it looks like the pitches are coming towards you instead of going away.
Yeah,
from you.
It's behind the batter.
Yeah, they're
actually looking at the pitch coming at you.
Yeah, and it's a little easier to track that way, and it's a little more.
Yeah, it's more natural.
Yeah, but it's more fun. This will shock you, but the constant releases seem to dull the audience's appetite for Jaleco's games.
Mm-hmm.
By 2000, they had pulled out of the video game business.
Yeah, they're really only publishers before that. They mm-hmm. only published these games by ghost developers in Japan.
Hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
And also, by the way, not to correct you, but it's actually in Spanish, it's pronounced Jaleco.
Well, listen, right. man, I'm right. out in Spain.
This is clearly a Spanish developer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they still do have all of the licenses to these games, but they are now mostly focused on the Japanese real estate business. And they go
That's
by
a
the
smart move.
They go by the name Encom Holdings.
Mm-hmm. They started out as a amusement park equipment manufacturer. And from there they started trying to get into the arcade cabinets because those would go into amusement parks. And they and then they made video games for a while, or published them at least.
Oh. It's this is seemingly way more common in Japan where you have these video game companies with odd roots, and then like just for, you know, like a 10, 15 year period, they decided, hey, let's get in the video game business.
Yeah.
It's a booming industry.
And actually, I just looked at this up right now. Jaleco, is the shortened name of the Japan Leisure Company.
Oh.
So that makes sense.
Like Capcom is, what is that? I forgot what that one's short for. Short for something.
Capistrami commercial, I think.
Yeah.
They made meats first, and then they decided to get into the video game business.
Did they really? I can't even tell if you're joking or not.
No.
Because Nintendo made like trading cards and all this other novelty crap that...
You know how popular Capistrani was in
Japan in the 80s? In the early 80s? It was booming.
That's why they could branch out and start it into video games.
That's why specializing in one meat was so lucrative, because then you were the go-to company when someone needed capistrami.
Oh, good times. Well, because of that, there hasn't been an officially licensed Bases Loaded game in a while. It's not like RBI Baseball has much more of a following.
Yeah.
I would say so.
To the point where RBI Baseball is kind of the equivalent to Tecmo Bowl from the standpoint that there are still new roster updates to both the basic game and also to I forget who does now, but they did release RBI Baseball in 2014 and 2015 with Major League Baseball's help.
It's just a more fun game.
So did the newer ones that came out did they still have that cartoon character look?
RBI Baseball?
Yeah.
I'm actually not positive on that. I was never an RBI guy.
That was the draw to. I played a lot more RBI Baseball than Bases Loaded as a kid, just because I was drawn to the cartoon characters more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you and I we don't park our car in the same garage on that brisket.
Yeah.
Steve needs realism. He needs the
do.
The feel of the glove.
Todd, you know what I live for?
The weight of the bat.
I live for seeing the relief pitcher being brought in on a cart.
On a so accurate. An extremely accurate representation.
I love that part. I miss that it no longer happens in real baseball.
I think my favorite part of a baseball game is when the pitcher commits harikari after you hit a home run. Which they seem to do right on the mound.
Yes. They're just so devastated,
so distraught,
to have displeased their boss.
It really does look like he's doing that. It is.
They bend over and are just stricken with grief.
Yeah. First, it looks like their hands are on their head, but then it looks like their head is crouching down, and they're like that, like they're stabbing a sword into their stomach.
They got the Kashi out, ready to go.
Blood pools beneath them.
Yeah. Paige and Bopper have dishonored the Boston sports teams. I
love the names of the characters.
There are some good ones.
Baloo is on Boston. I always played as Boston.
It's like Hugo and
Romeo.
Yep. Frida.
Goro.
Goro. Shang Tsung.
That Enos.
Liu Kang.
Daggett.
I might be mistaken, but I believe the names in the first game, some of them are nicknames for famous players in that city. But a lot of them are obviously just random or made up or American culture kind of names.
Yeah.
Like Bopper for Boston is like their best pitcher, like the Big Bopper or something. Although even that does not make a lot of sense because the Big Bopper, I think, is the nickname for Babe Ruth, but. The later games in the series.
I thought he was an old singer.
I don't know.
He died the day the music died.
He did. He was one of the dead in the day the music died.
Yeah.
He died in that.
When they died.
Oh. Well, I.
Huh. And Richie Valens.
No, there's also.
And Elvis Costello.
Yeah. Now there's also a baseball player. Lee Andrew May is a retired American Major League Baseball first baseman and designated hitter. May, nicknamed the Big Bopper, hit 20 or more home runs.
We're not quite sure.
And 80 or more runs batted in 11 consecutive seasons.
Oh, okay.
He was a hell of a mediocre first baseman. although I don't know.
Well, maybe he went on to play some Japan League, and that's why
he's more of a medium bopper. That's just like, oh, those are like good stats, but they're not like.
And also, by the way,
like amazing
bopper.
He's like an okay bopper.
Yeah,
he's good. He was fine. He's a fine bopper.
Bopper is a pitcher for Boston, whereas this guy was a first baseman for the Reds, Astros, Orioles, and Royals. So,
oh my,
yeah, I don't. Like I said, I have a feeling the names might be mostly randomly generated in this first one. Although in later installments, I can't remember if it's the second, the third, or the fourth. For each team, there's kind of a theme. Like for Boston, they're named after the founding fathers. Like Boston has a Franklin, a Hamilton on their team and that kind of stuff. LA.
And a Button Gwinnett.
Yeah. Yeah. Button Gwinnett. Is that the guy from Fallout 3?
Yeah.
Who's the robot? And Fallout.
The robot with the wig?
Yeah. I just found that guy a couple days ago.
He was an actual
random
historic guy, but he was like one of the lesser known dudes.
But yeah, there were kind of themes to the names of players.
Yeah, I only played Philly versus DC because that was the three game series that I had randomly assigned to me. And I didn't notice really any theme, so interesting to go back and check.
Well, I noticed huge, there's a lot of themes shown when you start the game, and it tells you to select your team, and the team select screen kind of threw me at first. It's like, all right, you're starting a season, select your team, your choices are P, K,
yeah.
E, N, M, D.
I was wondering about that. They don't spell out the entire city. Yeah.
I'll randomly pick this H. I don't know. Did Hawaii ever have a team? What? I'll just go with H.
What was it? Houston?
No, it's Hawaii.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, I feel like it's about time they got a team.
Yeah.
There's not enough leisure pursuits in Hawaii. They need a Major League Baseball team.
They need more focus on structure and
Omaha
discipline.
Yeah,
Omaha, New York, Miami,
Omaha,
Los Angeles, Kansas,
Omaha Steaks,
Jersey, Hawaii, DC, Boston, Philly, Texas, Utah. Utah has a team now, too.
I guess they couldn't reuse letters because they were only using one letter. So they had to think of different cities.
Yeah, that's true.
For different letters.
There's also, the game is also pretty bad at when you're subbing players out. Well, first off, you can't change your lineup before a game. So you have to use the default 9 players. Well, default 8. You can choose your starting pitcher. They do not tell you that the difference between starting pitchers and relief pitchers. Like, this game does have relief pitchers. They do get tired, and lose miles per hour off their fastballs. But some pitchers can go for like 7 innings, 8 innings, and others can only go for 1 or 2. And there's no real indicator for this. Also, players have positions, like the guys on the bench. Like, if you pinch hit for your catcher with a non-catcher, it'll ask you who you want to sub in at catcher after that.
Yeah.
Which is somewhat confusing, and also because players do have defensive ratings that are kept hidden.
Yeah, you can't see any of their actual, like, stats. Not, no. Like, stats, but, like, attributes.
No, it only tells you, like, for offense, it just tells you their batting average and their home runs. Which is helpful when it comes to knowing how well they hit, but there are differences between how well guys field and whatnot. Like, Boston's basic center fielder, he cannot throw. Like, he has a Johnny Damon arm out there. But there's a guy on their bench that actually can throw pretty well. So it's a matter of, you really have to, like, be willing to invest some time with this game to figure out all of its ins and outs, which is...
intricacies.
Yeah, it's an oddly hard, old school sports
it's
game.
It's very, very stat heavy, but it doesn't tell you anything about the stats. Nope.
Now, you said when you're selecting a player, you do see their average in home runs, so that gives you an actual hint into what their attributes would be? Is that true?
Yeah, from my experience playing this game as a kid, there is a correlation with like their batting average and their power and how good of a hitter they actually are.
Okay. Same with pitchers, I guess.
Yeah, normally...
you just get ERA.
Yeah, normally the lower their ERA, the faster they can throw. But like I said, there is like a stamina thing you really only find out if you actually use them to play. So some of the teams, I think, like the top 5 pitchers are meant to be your starters and the bottom 5 are meant to be relievers, but it doesn't hold for all of the teams.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. They just order them by number and I didn't think that really meant anything.
No, it's...
I guess not.
Not really. Yeah, it's confusing. And also, like, excuse me.
Yeah, confusing is an accurate word.
And it's also, some of the pitchers with high ERAs, they can't throw as fast, but this oddly makes them good pitchers for you to use as a human being, because it means you can just throw outside junk balls the entire time, and the computer-controlled batters have a lot of trouble with that. Like, basically, you should be trying to go to get 2 strikes on the batter as quick as you can, then just throw outside pitches.
Because they're going to swing at one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, try as I might, I could not manage to hit the batter. Like, I've had the ball go through them.
I've had the ball
multiple
go through
times.
Them.
Yeah.
But I've read that you can cause a bench-clearing fight scene if you beat the batter. And I was not able to do it.
Yeah. I kind of just wanted to see it because I was already losing 8-1 and I didn't care.
I think it's kept as like a hidden feature that there's supposed to be one batter on each team that you can throw at to cause a brawl. But
I couldn't even get a walk off of them. They just went right through them.
No, I don't know. I was always trying to win, guys. I wasn't here to get involved in the petty brushback wars. I'm no Chase Utley trying to incite a riot.
That is harsh.
It's a topical reference.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah, you are a Phillies fan. What do you?
Oh, fan is a strong word.
What do you feel about his despicable behavior now that he's a Dodger? Do you think that's? Do you think the Dodgers corrupted him?
I think once you put on that blue flat brim cap, you just you lose all morals.
Yeah.
I mean, just
the flat
everything
brim
goes
takes
out the
over.
Window. Yeah, it kind of just seeps into your soul and destroys it.
I do agree with you that only true monsters could support the Dodgers.
Just moralless, soulless monsters.
Yep. Whether they're a hotshot lawyer or an overinflated, ego-driven actor.
Or just someone waiting to murder someone in the parking lot.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah, that happened too.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Well,
that's their fans.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
as a fan of the Phillies, I need to shed the light on any other fan base that is also despicable. I need to spread the love.
Aren't the Philly fans the ones that throw batteries at people?
Only before. We don't do that anymore.
That's since you moved into that new stadium.
We used to. Yeah, we don't want to sully the Citizens Bank Park. It's too shiny.
Well, listen, I'm from Boston, which is also well known for its fan friendly experience.
If you're white.
But, well, you know, they're not the biggest fan on white people either.
Or just
people. I mean, Grantland had a story, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, about how the guys selling the Yankees sucks t-shirts were basically all like drug addicts and like angry punk kids who basically laundered money and threatened to beat up other concessionaires to let them in.
Oh my.
Apparently that is a huge vat of corruption, like the t-shirt salesman and like the sausage vendors outside of Fenway Park. So.
Yeah, the unlicensed vendors. It was always an interesting market to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and to get a license, you have to be like connected to the political machine out there.
So they just sell them a block over from the stadium.
I know.
On the sidewalk.
I know. I always want to get a hot dog or like a sausage when I go to a game. But then, like, 1 minute into it, I'm like, why did I do this? Why did I pay $9 for a 16-ounce sausage that it smells delicious? I don't know. There's something about that smell that gets to me where I'm like, oh, this smells good. I want a dog with sausage and peppers on it. But then once you're eating it, you instantly regret it.
And I do not know what kind of dogs you're eating. I enjoy every single wiener I put in my mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a man who appreciates a wiener more than I do.
Yeah. No regrets.
You're already lowering yourself enough buying a hot dog that, I mean, what expectations can you really have?
That sat in a vat of water for God knows.
Steamy water.
Probably, to be honest, they've probably been there for days. But I do know the only thing that you can wash it down with is a $9 Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Sometimes Coors.
I do enjoy that ballparks and stadiums are now getting into more of the gourmet and independent beers. Pseudo-independent ones. Ones that are still owned by, you know, the big two, now the big one, InBev. Mm-hmm. But they're like a Blue Moon. It's owned by Coors or something, but.
Yeah. For $12, you can get a Blue Moon, which.
But you can get like a nice Polish kielbasa or something like that instead of a Oscar Mayer Frank.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. They do now have, you know, better food at the ballpark, but of course that's even more money. So.
I go there to have fun and not worry about my bank account.
I
guess I'm part of the problem, aren't I?
I just miss the glory days when I could go see a sixth place Red Sox team for $4 because they were horrible. And it was basically just angry, surly drunks in the bleachers. And also that's what Bases Loaded kind of reminds me of. That that nostalgic time when I was a kid.
Well, coming back to fans and Bases Loaded, I'm not sure if every stadium is the same. Do you know if they change it at all? But behind the batter, there's these windows with fans behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Has any stadium ever had that?
I might be.
It seemed like a very strange.
I might
place.
Be
behind the batter.
Yeah,
you have to look up a screenshot.
It's like people behind.
No idea
glass.
What you're talking about.
I might be relying on my knowledge of a great Japanese baseball documentary called Mr. Baseball, but I think that's more customary in Japan.
Maybe
you have more of like a I don't know, kind of like an industrial look. Yeah. To a baseball stadium.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. Maybe it's like, they might have some owner's booth there. Or
it's very
the,
odd.
The stat keepers.
Maybe. Just seemed like a strange place.
It is.
To have a window.
Well,
balls
maybe
being
they're supposed to be the dugouts.
Towards... No, that's an even weirder spot.
It is, but I think they might be trying to compress the entire field down into one screen.
Well, for a game this accurate, I do not believe they would stoop to those levels.
I was trying to find a good look, like behind the plate, from a Japanese stadium. But of course, Google is not cooperating. I can't tell it clearly what I want. Instead, I'm just getting a lot of pictures of Tomo Oka
and hentai porn.
Well, I get a lot of those anyway.
It does curve your searches to your history.
Oh, I know. It is diabolical like that. It's like, no, I got work to do. I can't look at tentacles right now. But, Google, you got me again. Anyways, so I did play one game to completion, and I beat the other team. The final score is 5-1.
Congratulations.
Very good.
Thank you. It's glad to know I still got it. This game, I have played it before with another person. That is funner than you would imagine because
it is. Yeah, this is definitely would benefit from a playing with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they would also have terrible fielding if right. Neither of you
they
knew about auto fielding.
They would have the same batting disadvantage and fielding disadvantage.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I actually find when it comes to two-player sports games, I like baseball more than the other ones because it's easier to I feel like the skill curve is kind of flattened a bit more, whereas in basketball and football games especially, you can, you know, if you know more than the other player or you're just kind of better at games, it's much easier to use that advantage. Where
they have more action going on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the cheese plays to use over and over again in Madden as opposed to this. It's there's some randomness involved. So,
yeah.
Brisket, did you have any other kind of thoughts here on Bases Loaded?
Yeah. Did you guys see that the umpires have names?
I do.
Oh, well, no.
The home plate umpire is named Yuck. The first... The first base umpire is named Dumb. Second base umpire is named Boo. And the third base umpire is named Bum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw that in the corner and did not know what it meant. I saw Boo and Buck and You.
Mm-hmm.
Or Yum, or whatever it was.
Yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Because, like, none of those correspond to my lineup, so I didn't know why they were showing them to me.
Hey man, if it's in the game, it's in the game.
It's true.
They were on top of this way before EA Sports. No, I knew that little tidbit about the umpires. It's weird for a game series that was kind of just churned out. It does have little funny parts like that. And like I said, the animation, the animated parts are kind of neat where,
yep.
You know, you have the little movies. And sound effects.
Yeah, it does have some satisfying sound effects in this one. The ding of the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd screaming.
Yeah, and you have umpires. They actually go ball, strike, out, and safe.
Yeah. And when you pause it, they say time.
Mm-hmm.
I would call it satisfying.
Yeah, and there's...
I agree.
there's a jaunty little tune when you start the game.
Mm-hmm. Makes you feel like America and baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yes, created by that Spanish company, Xaleco? How do you say that?
Xaleco. And I love the original Japanese name for this game, which is Muero Pro Yaku, which means burn pro baseball.
Oh.
It's part of the Burn series of sports games published by Xaleco.
Of course.
And they also have, it's the entire Bases Loaded series, but also they have a tennis game and, I don't know what else they have. Maybe a whitewater rafting game or something. I don't know, but it's part of the Muero series.
Burn.
You have to show your burning passion. Yeah, I saw the other games listed here and I honestly, like, none of them seem that familiar to me. Like, Hoops, I think I may have played Hoops, which is their name for, the American name for Borrego Junior Basket 2-on-2.
Yeah, it's a, like street ball for the NES, right?
It's not burning hoops?
No, apparently not. It's, it is not an especially good game. It came out in 1989 where there was already much better games out. And it's just this crappy 2-on-2 basketball game where there are no fouls and it's playground style. So if you make a basket, you can take it out again and shoot it. So like if you're bad,
make it take it.
Yeah. If you're bad on defense, like most people are in these early NES games, like there's a chance you'll just lose like 11-0 or I forget what it is, 7-0, 11.
That game sounds hyper realistic.
Like not, most of the games we played.
Not for an ace basketball player like me. I'm not losing 7-0. Well, Huel, did you have any more thoughts here about Bases Loaded?
Mostly, I mean, I appreciated what it was and what it was trying to do. It just, to me, it just wasn't fun. You know? It was, like, too accurate.
Yeah, it's a game that has not especially aged well, because there's just so many better alternatives to it now on modern kind of systems.
Mm-hmm. So you guys talked about the length of the game, and most sports video games tone that down a bit, but this one, you're going through every motion.
Mm-hmm. Right. As you guys know, I don't play too many of the old sporty ball games.
Hmm.
And the only thing I felt that I wanted to do while playing this one is actually play a newer baseball game instead of this one.
Yeah, I've only really played the 3D games and I guess RBI Baseball. It was just weird trying to have an accurate simulation with only 2D graphics.
Well, we've mentioned it on past shows. I've played Baseball Mogul quite a bit, which is a sports management game. And through the years, I've played some of the various other Keystone kind of baseball games. Like after this, I think I had one of the Bases Loaded games for Super Nintendo that I played. I had Ken Griffey Jr.'s Baseball, which was kind of a fun game. More kind of like a mixture. You could play a season mode and it would track stats, but it also had, it was more of an arcade style game where everyone was hitting home runs and like games would finish with 25 to 20 scores.
The Griffey one?
Yeah, the Griffey one. And then from there I had World Series Baseball. Like I played that a bit for the Saturn, which had an aspect I liked in that you had to warm up pitchers before they could come into the game.
Really?
Ah.
Yeah, and I kind of liked that, which is like a weird little realism thing. I think Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball may have had that too in one of them, but like those, I liked those little touches. And from there, I played the I think it's the MLB series on PlayStation, and those games are all pretty good. So, if you're going to play a baseball game now, I'd recommend that you just pick up one of the new ones. They're pretty good. And they have a kind of, I think it's called The Show, which is based on you playing out like as a player, like as a single player through a season.
Yeah, that's the name of the series. And I think that has the only MLB license, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's much like Madden.
Yeah, I'm thinking of some other series then too, where you're.
Well, so do you just like, if your team is on the field and you're playing center field, you're just sitting there doing nothing? Just waiting?
Unless it pops to you.
I think with those specialty games, it kind of simulates it so that you're only playing plays when you're out there. That kind of deal?
Yeah, you're not waiting through every pitch. It'll be like, all right, it's the third inning two outs, and now
it'll
skip
ahead a batter.
It's like, oh, now it's going to pop. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That sounds interesting. Yeah. It's like an RPG.
Yeah, I played it on the PS2, mm-hmm. like 07 or something, and I had fun. I had fun doing that.
Yeah, and
I think I was center field, actually.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
And I always like to play as pitchers in those games. And
ugh, it's grueling.
Well, it was an easier experience since it meant you were just out there on the mound, and whenever you weren't, the computer was controlling it. So
I was a speedy base dealer.
Yeah. I had an especially good season as a starting pitcher, except my team won like 50 games, so it didn't matter. Like I was like the Felix Hernandez of the team. It probably helped that I was playing on like very easy, and the simulation apparently didn't take into account the difficulty setting, because the rest of my team was garbage. I think I was playing as the Expos or the Sox in a bad year. But Brisket, did you have any final thoughts here on Bases Loaded?
Nope, it's a decent game for the time and. Yeah, play a newer baseball game rather than this one.
Time has left it behind. Huel, what about you? Any final thoughts here?
No, I think that was it.
All right, then. Let's move right along to the email section of the show. Brisket, did you get any emails this week?
I did. I got an email from a new writer.
Oh,
interesting. Expanding.
He wrote this. It says, YPB, Butterscoot is deified. The clans tell tales of him. Few knew the truth. He was mortal once, as were we all. However, his contempt for humanity drove him to create me and my brethren. I am Scuttleboot, firstborn of his lieutenant.
Whoa!
I stood with Butterscoot and my brethren at the dawn of the Empire. I have served him a millennium. Over time, we became less human and more divine. Butterscoot would enter the state of change and emerge with a new gift. Some years after the Master, our evolution would follow. Until I had the honor of surpassing my lord. For my transgression, I earned a new kind of reward. Agony. There was only one possible outcome. My eternal damnation. I, Scuttleboot, was to suffer the fate of traitors and weaklings. To burn forever in the bowels of the Lake of the Dead. Tumbling, burning with white-hot fire, I plunged into the depths of the abyss. Unspeakable pain. Relentless agony. Time ceased to exist. Only this torture. And a deepening hatred of the hypocrisy that damned me to this hell. An eternity passed, and my torment receded, bringing me back from the precipice of madness. The descent had destroyed me, and yet I lived. What are y'all dudes' favorite TV shows about video games? Kind regards, Scuttleboot.
This is shocking for one.
Well, I don't think it's so shocking that he would want to know about our favorite TV show.
Yeah, but so kind of a weird question. I think we've had some about what are our favorite movies based on games?
Mm-hmm.
But this is, he's asking TV shows about video games. And so I looked up a list ahead of time. There's not that many out there, surprisingly.
Well, the first that of course comes to mind is the Super Mario Brothers Super Hour.
But that's not a TV show about a game. That's based on a game. TV shows about games are like Code Monkeys.
Oh.
Never seen.
Captain in the Game Master.
I'm not sure if Scuttleboot can be really trusted to accurately ask a question after what we just heard. But
he just gave us a little background on his history.
Yeah. I'm glad he, yeah.
Well, I looked up a list, and this list, out of all these, I think Reboot is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
that is a TV show about characters in video games, and they go into different video games.
That's not really about games either.
Well,
it's about their world and video games in their world.
Well, Scuttleboot means like the TV show has to be like about a fictional game universe as opposed to real games. You know.
Right.
Mm.
Like Heroes Reborn might qualify because they have
I think so. I think it would. It's about video games. Yeah.
It is.
And like The Guild is about video games. That's on this list, even though it's
The Guild. Feature. Okay. Yeah, I've watched that.
Well, Heroes
Nick Arcade. Nick Arcade is a show about video games.
But a lot of them are real.
That's kind of a random list. Nick Arcade's kind of like a game show.
Yeah, it's a TV show about games.
An incredible TV show.
Nick Arcade?
Yes.
Incredible?
I don't know about that.
How can
these kids flub around on an arcade cabinet for
that was
minutes?
The best part. How terrible they were.
This is a very frustrating show to watch.
It's incredible.
I feel like they played Chuck Rock quite a bit on that game.
They did. They did a lot of Chuck Rock. And if I recall correctly, they did some Ape Spit. Or that's something else. I don't know.
A lot of ghouls and ghosts?
No, I don't think they did Ghouls and Ghosts. But yeah, a lot of Chuck Rock, for sure.
They did a lot of non-Nintendo and non-Sega games because I think they were making that show on the cheap and couldn't get the license for it.
Yeah, there's no way they were paying more for that.
Yeah, so I think they did a lot of Chuck Rock. They did some Bonk, I believe.
Right.
Oh, and there was some like space shooting game that they would play all the time. Along those similar lines, though, the game I kind of liked for a stupid reason was this game called Video Power, this game show. Because in Video Power, the winning team would get to go into like this fake store at the end.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and they were wearing a Velcro vest, and like
that was blew my mind when I saw that.
Yeah, and
I was like, how can I do that?
Yeah, and they had all like the games were up on like the wall on Velcro. And you could pull them off the wall and put them on yourself, and you had like 30 seconds to look for whatever you wanted, and then at the end you had to get out by the time the clock struck. And you get
vaguely remember this.
And they were the kids were so terrible at that too.
Yeah, they really were. Bad.
They would spend like 10 seconds just trying to get the Velcro to work.
Yeah,
like sitting there with one game.
It is difficult to operate.
Well, and you could also tell, like, I imagine I may have done the same thing when I was a kid, but you could tell they were probably looking for, like, a specific game.
Yeah.
And not finding it, because much like with Nick Arcade, I'm looking at the list of games they gave away. It looks like they had a decent selection, but it's not like they had everything.
Yeah, they were probably looking for, like, real games.
Yeah. We'll have
Nintendo style.
Yeah, they did have a surprisingly, you know, these are good games that they were giving away, actually. Like they had, let's see, Castlevania 2 and 3, Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers, that was a hell of a fun game. Mega Man 1, 2, and 3, Maniac Mansion, Paperboy, Ninja Gaiden, like a bunch of,
legit, yeah.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, Yeah. Let's shot to number one.
Oh, we need to get that one on our list.
We should play Moonwalker.
Well, maybe we could do it as a tribute to the anniversary of his passing.
Rest in peace, Michael.
We'll find out when that was.
Prince Michael.
But no, I'll have to include a link to that show on the blog, because it's one that everyone has the reaction Brisket had, where, oh, I remember that, but you never remember the name because it's just video
it's
power.
It's such a generic name. And the round where you run through and collect all the video games is called Prize Round.
Yeah. Between that and I loved that show, and I love Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, yeah. My grandmom and I watched that.
All right, Granny.
Me too. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I watched it with one or both of my grandparents.
Of course.
Well, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they could start airing a show like that again, and I would still watch it. I love watching people just throw crap into a cart.
Running around wildly through a store.
Yeah. Oh, I could get turkeys so much better than they could.
Idiots.
They didn't even...
Why is everybody so bad at those TV shows, like on those game shows?
They didn't even go to the aisle with the buckets. You can just get the buckets and then put
get the buckets, fill them up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you get double money for that. Why don't you just run down the aisle and put your arm out and scoop everything into the cart? Come on. Anyways.
Cart can only hold so much.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So, I guess we answered Scoop Butts. Question. What is his name?
Skizzlebat?
Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt, okay.
Huh. Good for him. Huel, did you have any questions? Any questions? Any emails?
Many questions, but I did receive one email.
Oh.
This is from ScooterBut42.
Oh, Scooty.
So, nice to hear from them. So they write, Dear Huel and the other guys, Sorry for a cryptic text a few weeks ago. I had acquired entrance to a cell phone store and was browsing the selection when these nosy police showed up. I was already fiddling with a phone and was in the middle of trying to send a message to Huel after getting his number from a F. Beanwell. I only had time to send a quick message off. I ducked into a dumpster behind a pet store until they were gone. Speaking of, did you like any Pokemon games? Signed, ScooterBut42. Did you guys ever play them Pokemans?
I did play that Pokemans.
Good.
I've played ever since the beginning. I've had one of the Pokemons on each console.
Really?
That came out.
Each Game Boy?
Each Game Boy. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a nice little OCD type game that I'm into. OCD RPG.
Yeah, it seems like it's gotten more complicated now. I don't know if that's just me and my short attention span.
See, I am at the opposite end of the spectrum from Todd in that I dislike games that make you collect, like, oh, get these 150 collectibles. Like that.
Well, you don't have to do that.
I think the appeal is there are a lot of options and you can construct an optimal lineup.
You get your optimal teams.
I feel like, though, that is the main focus of the game, because most of them don't really have any story to speak of. It's like, oh, you have...
How dare you?
You have to go beat...
You just said you didn't even play him.
No, I played Red.
Yeah. That's the only one I had, too.
Now, I feel like that was enough. I've looked here and there.
Yeah, you only need to play one of them to know what they're all about. And it's not for you. It's not for you.
I can't tell if you're being facetious or not.
No, it's
are they all still exactly the same?
They are. Yeah.
I mean, I used to be the advisor for a high school newspaper, and like the
okay.
Well, from that, like, some of the kids would review the Pokemon games, and I guess from there, like, you can now breed Pokemon to get new Pokemon.
Yeah, well, they had little features like that, but, I mean, the game is overall the same.
Yeah, it sounds like they're not putting in, like, a Final Fantasy-esque story into these games.
Not at all.
It's still now there's like shiny Pokemon and legendaries. Now there's just so many to keep track of. It seems I feel like if I jumped in again, having only played the first generation, I'd be overwhelmed. That's just the feeling I get.
Speaking of,
well, I mean, it is a game for kids, so you know,
not according to half the internet.
Well, that's because they started playing those games as like a kid or a young teenager, and now they're all grown up. It's actually we're recording this before our news post hits on Thursday, but Thursday marks the 15th anniversary of Diamond and Silver coming out, or Gold and Silver, I think it is. The first proper sequels to Blue and Red.
So it's the second gen.
I don't know if it's technically the second or the third or the fourth, because after Blue and Red, they did, I think it was it Yellow and Green.
Yes, but they're still considered first generation.
Yeah, because
it's like you're saying, these are the first true sequels.
Yeah, because I think the Yellow and Green are basically, they just add some more Pokemon, but they kind of keep pretty much all of the exact same gameplay or something like that.
Well, the big draw of Yellow was you could choose Pikachu as a starter because he was such a huge phenomenon at the time that they released a whole new version of the game.
Yeah.
Just to start with Pikachu. And the funny part is he wasn't even that good in the game.
Oh, no, he's a basic Pokemon. You gotta evolve him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But who cares? No one likes the evolved form of Pikachu. Raichu. Yeah, come on. Is he even in Smash Brothers? I feel like he might have.
He is, yeah. Raichu is. He's separate from Pikachu.
Yeah. Good. That's how it should be. Yes, it seems like we talk about Smash Brothers every week now, but it's kind of ubiquitous throughout Nintendo.
It's ubiquitous,
universe.
And it's a legit good series. So.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get that many games smashed together, it's hard to avoid.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers. Oh. I wonder if that's where it came from.
Oh.
Bro, you just blew my mind, man.
I just smashed your mind, bro.
All right, so I guess we're on to the email I got. Hey guys, now that it's fall, what's your favorite weapon in a video game? Sincerely, Robert Blake.
Oh,
succinct, and
I don't think Robert Blake's needs any weapon tips from us.
Yeah.
Now, unlike previous emails, this one does not say that he is not the actual Robert Blake, so it might be Robert Blake.
It's at least Robert Blake. I don't know if it's perhaps the former Colorado Avalanche defenseman Rob Blake.
Oh yeah, maybe it's him.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd that he would ask a non-hockey question, but then again, like, hockey players are people too. They have hobbies.
Hockey sticks can be used as weapons, even in video games.
Yeah, exactly. Most of their hobbies seem to include dating Elisha Cuthbert
at least half the league.
Yeah, but then again, I cannot blame them for that at all. I would do that as well. My favorite weapon from a game is probably, I've always been partial to that Buster Sword from Final Fantasy VII, which is Cloud's gigantic, ridiculous sword.
That always annoyed me.
Look at you haters.
Like most of the Final Fantasy series.
Guys, that Buster Sword was handed down to him from the man who saved his life.
See, get it? It's strong because it's a big sword.
Except it's not strong since it's like the worst sword you have in that game, yet it's included in like all of the artwork.
See, it's strong because it's bigger than, you know, a normal sword.
I get it, Bert.
favorite weapon, it's hard to say.
It's a tough question. I can't so remember any. There's a lot of classic ones. Like, I'm just looking up a few. Like, the crowbar from Half-Life is a classic weapon. The BFG.
Do you just Google any question we get?
Well, I mean, I can't. I do not have a good recall. So
how about the head borer from Turok 2?
Yeah, the head boar.
The cranial boar.
It's a good one. Good.
The laptop gun from Perfect Dark, because you could chuck it. It became a turret. That was fun.
How about the red turtle shell in Mario Kart?
Indeed.
Oh, I do like that one. And the spike shell, except you can only get that if you're like in eighth place.
If you suck.
If you're terrible.
Yeah.
The blue shell. Does the portal gun count?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
So you can't actually kill someone with it itself, but you can cause them to die.
Yeah.
With the portals.
Well, you do use that one time as a weapon in Portal 2. Like, at the end of the game.
No, you're still just shooting portals.
Yeah, portals. But you're kind of using it with, well, not malice, but you're using it as like as a weapon, as opposed to something to help you get around.
Well, you can kill robots with it. You can send them off the ledge and whatnot.
Yeah, you shoot robots all around.
Oh yeah,
fire them robots.
That's true.
And you can use it to fire robots at other robots. So,
man, that I love me some Portal 2. There's so many little nooks and crannies in that game.
Yeah, need to be.
I need to finish playing that. I've only started it. I got so many games, man.
It's good.
Hey, how about this one that Steve will be familiar with recently? The fat man from Fallout 3.
Oh yeah.
Now, here's my thing. My problem with a lot of RPGs, and I admit that this is a falling on my own. I have like 20 mini nukes left for the fat man, and I'm at level 30, and I've already beaten like the main quest, and I'm doing the last DLC right now. So I don't know what I'm going to use them on. I just always save them. I'm like, I better save this for battle when I really, really need it. And then
it's better to use that one when you're sneaking up on somebody. Like there's a group of guys and you just launch
get
one
them
at
clustered
them
together. Yeah.
Cause if you're in the heat of the battle, they're going to come up to you and they'll be too close.
Yeah, that's what I also figured out with a tiny bit of experimentation with that and myself early in the game.
Deathclaws.
Yeah, I forget. I didn't use it on a Deathclaw. I used it on like one of the named characters you have to beat because I figured he was probably a badass man. But it killed him real good. Like the enemies I'm having. The only enemies I really have trouble with now are these, I think the super mutant overlords. Like the ones who have the tri-lasers on them.
Yep.
Which automatically.
Yeah. Tough boys. I think those are the toughest guys in the game. Yeah.
Yeah. They,
how about this weapon from a preview of a game coming up soon? The golden gun.
Oh, that is a game.
Yes.
GoldenEye.
Well, speaking of GoldenEye, I don't remember if it's GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, or both, but there's a trick with the proximity mines. Normally you have to throw them and they stick to something and you have to switch to the detonator, but you can chuck them and if you press A and B at the same time, it'll detonate any, not proximity mines, the remote mines.
Oh, yeah.
Any remote mines you have. So you can just like throw exploding bombs at people. And just explode them in midair, and it's pretty fun.
Man, the mines in the GoldenEye, oh man, those are so fun.
Yeah, the proximity ones, of course, were one of the biggest douche moves in gaming history.
I know, but they're still so much fun to use.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's why they're fun.
Yeah, if you manage to trap a friend in a corner, that was always
that fun. You put them on ammo boxes. That was the move.
Oh yeah. that game. I sure hope we do that game soon.
Yeah. it'd be a shame to waste all this material.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun. Huel, did you have a favorite weapon or did we kinda stumble across it?
No else really come to mind. Maybe Link's bow. It's always fun.
Yeah. Good choice. Strong bow.
Strong.
Shoot those guys in their eyeballs.
More than the sword, because there's swords everywhere, but the bow was kind of iconic to Zelda.
Yeah, the bow is fun to use. I like range weapons. Melee, melee weapons aren't as much fun.
Melee.
Yep. Yeah, I mean weapons made out of corn. They're not as much fun.
Yeah. The weapons that have been sitting out for a while and just don't taste as good anymore.
No, man. All right. It sounds like we're wrapping up a bit here, gentlemen. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we sign off?
Just advice for the game and life in general. Play aggressively or don't play at all.
that's advice your pappy gave you, and it's why you're in a happy relationship right now.
That's why I'm on top of the podcasting world.
Brisket, how about you?
Me and my new pals, Yuck, Dumb, Boo, and Bum, are going to go hit the showers and lather up.
Oh, sounds like you have a loaded night coming for you. All right, on that note, here's a little snifferoo from our next spooky game.